Moving on to agenda number 9, report and possible discussion on legislative updates by Matt Phillips, Legislative and Governmental Affairs Manager. How is the Capitol, Matt? Crickets.
Well, I'm trying to bring up my slides. Actually, probably hear it in the background.
He cut his hair.
I did that too. It got so bad it started falling out, so I just had to go ahead and go with it. I'm not sure why this is viewing so small. There we go. Can y'all see all that?
Yeah, we're good, Matt.
Okay, good. So, and let me turn this down. This is the house in the background, actually. So, it's actually rare to get to do this presentation during this time, because normally we don't have a meeting until July, and then the one before that's in April. And a lot happens between April and June at the Capitol during session. So this is actually kind of a good time to get to see you all. There's 1 week left. So they finish up next Monday. And as you would imagine, the next few days, because Wednesday is the last day that either body can pass bills, the next few days are going to be long. They'll go all the way till midnight or past every single day. Both bodies probably will. At least that's what we expect now. Because of some infighting they may, a couple of them may adjourn here or there for time periods, maybe shorter than that, just to show the other side. In fact, they kind of had that happen this weekend where instead of staying through the weekend, the House adjourned last Thursday all the way until Sunday because they didn't believe the Senate was moving enough of their bills. So that's kind of where we are in the process. Everybody's tired of each other. And the bodies are kind of fighting back and forth. But that said, things are moving and things are getting done. And I'm, as I've usually done through this session, I'll kind of start with some of the broader topics and kind of narrow my way down to the stuff that really affects us or the stuff that we're watching more closely. So I've talked a lot about these four major issues. The legislature was kind of slammed this session already because you already had the budget and COVID and redistricting, and then when we had the winter storm, you added to that making reforms to the electric grid, which is huge. I do think they're going to get progress on at least three of those. The budget is in conference, and I'm told that there is a deal to adopt a budget that everybody has agreed to. So that's obviously the only thing constitutionally that they really have to do every session is to pass a budget, and so I think they are going to get there. I think what helped with that was the fact that the revenue estimate ended up looking more rosy than folks thought it would have post-COVID or because of COVID. So I think, you know, that ended up helping them be able to negotiate a budget. Speaking of COVID, I think this is something that we expected to come out of this session, and I'm not sure what these things will look like once they hit the governor's desk because they involve the governor's executive power to issue disaster declarations and law suspensions and things like that. But the two measures I list here, SJR 45, House Bill 3, both have in them the ability for, or both have in them limits on the governor's ability to issue certain length disaster declarations. And they also limit the ability of local governments to adopt ordinances during disasters that are different from what the state issues. So they kind of attack both levels, and they now will require more legislative involvement in things like disaster declarations, pandemics, and things of that nature. So it'll be interesting to see the governor's response to that once they get to his desk, because, you know, I don't know that he's going to veto them, but I'm sure they'll be given some thought. You know, you're basically being asked to sign something that limits your own power. So it'll be interesting to see what those end up looking like. On electricity, and this is one again that kind of came out of the winter storm and kind of hit the legislature unaware as they were already starting on these other things, but there are going to be some reforms passed. Probably the one that's the most key to us is SB 3. It actually includes a lot of the reforms that are in House Bill 11, 12, 13, 14. Those include things like supply chain mapping, weatherization, reforms to ERCOT and the ERCOT board and what they have to look like. But Senate Bill 3 specifically has a section related to providing plans for backup generation for water and for water treatment facilities or water related facilities, which obviously affects us. You know, we had the situation with our East Williamson County plant, and that is one that we are already working on to make sure that we have adequate backup generation in the future. We will wait to see what Senate Bill 3 ends up looking like so that we don't start something and then have to redo it or change it. But basically, we'll have to have a plan on file with TCEQ that clearly lays out how we're going to continue operation of that facility, at least in some way, during an extended power outage. The one thing I will say is the bill does provide some exceptions for other types of facilities, those being raw water facilities, many of which we also operate, that does not require you to provide backup generation to facilities that would otherwise not be in operation or would be subject to interruption by contract. And we have some of those facilities. It obviously doesn't make sense to operate something that really doesn't need to be running during that type of disaster. So, or to have backup generation for something that won't be running during a disaster. So that language is in there, and we were part of crafting that, and we're glad that it's been included. Redistricting, this is absolutely no surprise. They'll have a special session likely in the fall. They don't have the census data. And so the thought is they'll be called back at some point, maybe in September or October, to work on that really fun subject that they get to do every 10 years. So, and it was always expected they wouldn't finish that during the regular session. Any questions on any of those?
No questions, Matt.
All right, I'll move to the next one. So other issues, you know, these are other broader issues, but ones that the legislature is spending time on. Rural broadband, that was a focus of the legislature, particularly given COVID and folks having to work from home and do school from home and those kind of things. They did pass House Bill 5. It creates a broadband development office. It creates a program to promote broadband in rural areas, and then also an account that will at some point come with funding once there's a plan to distribute that funding in order to get broadband out to the rural areas of our state. Public funds for lobbying. This is one that has come up the last few sessions. I do think there's agreement on a bill, although it has not made its way completely through the process, but that is Senate Bill 10. As Senate Bill 10 initially passed the Senate, it would not have applied to us. It applied strictly to municipalities and counties. As Senate Bill 10 looks now, and as it is on the House calendar for tomorrow, it does apply to us. It applies to all types of districts, river authorities, you know, MUD, SUDs, also all the different entities. We will not in any way be prohibited from hiring folks that do lobby work for us. However, when the board does approve those contracts, they will have to be done in a separate standalone vote from the budget. And then we will have to post the information related to those contracts on our website. Nothing of which is problematic for us, because those have always been public records, and we have no issues with that at all. So going forward, should Senate Bill 10 pass in its current form, that's how we will have to deal with lobby contracts. Eminent domain, obviously an issue that also comes up relatively every session. There were a number of different reforms passed, none of which, in our opinion, significantly hinder our ability to, when we have to exercise our power of eminent domain. That's obviously not something we ever really want to do, and something we rarely ever do. But there are a number of, you know, kind of minor reforms passed related to that. Probably the biggest one for us, because at times we will acquire property that we might have to hold on to for a while, given how long it takes to implement projects, but is the right to repurchase. There were some changes made, basically limiting how long you could hold on to property before you had to offer it for repurchase. However, it does exempt projects that are in the state water plan. So there's an exemption for our type of project in that. So that was helpful. There's also going to be some significant changes made to the landowner bill of rights, just some additional information. And that's something that we have to post on our website. So whatever those end up looking like, we will end up putting that out with all of the stuff we generally put out. I see there's a hand up. I'm trying to find who it is.
That's Director Luton.
Yeah, Director, Matt. Yes.
Matt, will the funding for the broadband program come from the COVID relief funds?
It could, but it also could just come from state appropriations. So it could come from either source.
Thank you.
And I will say that's also going to depend on what it looks like in the budget. And I can look at that, but I can't speak to exactly what it looks like in the conference report because I haven't seen it. And then public meetings, particularly virtual ones like we're doing right now. It's odd. At the beginning of session, I think everyone thought they would make virtual more widespread, that it would become more of a thing. You know, I think that's something I talked about in previous updates. But surprisingly, they're going to end up doing very little on that. I think the idea of going back to normal and doing in-person meetings has become more the norm. And I think the thought is that if we ever have another situation like COVID, that the governor can obviously make, you know, certain suspensions of rules and laws to allow us to do virtual if we have to, but that there wasn't any need to make widespread changes in law to make virtual more the norm. And I think that was the fear that some of the members had, is that virtual would become the norm as opposed to the exception. And so I think that's why you're not going to see a lot of changes to the open meetings law that allow more virtual meetings. Any questions on those?
So Matt, that was the governor's thing. So back to the HB3 and the limited governmental power, governor powers, et cetera, will that fall under that if there's changes to that bill?
It could. And specifically what would fall under it is the length of time for which it can be in existence. So the governor could initially do it, but for how long and how long he can extend those, that would then be subject to some sort of legislative review. So the legislature would have more say in how long those were extended. So yes, it would.
Okay.
Dialing down into water issues. Quiet water session. It just was. And I think that was expected. We talked about this in the last update. Produced water, or water that comes from the oil and gas process. Senate Bill 601 creates a produced water consortium that's going to look at, and that's going to include industry as well as TCEQ, the Water Development Board, looking at ways to make that more of a potential supply. So I think that's something that we might end up participating in as a water supplier if it becomes an issue in our basin. Groundwater, there always seems to be reforms to groundwater every single session. There is one kind of, you know, broader groundwater bill, that Senate Bill 152, that makes some tweaks to district rulemaking and also makes some increases permit notice that districts have to do. One version of Senate Bill 152 also includes a version of what's called loser pays. Right now, only groundwater districts can recover attorney's fees in a lawsuit. And the change in law that 152 made as it passed the Senate allows those who are suing a district to obtain attorney's fees if they were to prevail. That's a very controversial topic with districts. It was stripped out in the House. When that bill goes to conference, I imagine that'll be the biggest issue that gets discussed, and I can't really say how it's going to turn out. TCEQ dam inventory, we saw this coming as well with some of the failed dams in some areas of Texas. So TCEQ is going to create a public inventory of river authority managed dams. So ours will be in there. In addition to just the basic information about the dams, we'll have to provide maintenance plans, or at least what we plan to do to maintain those structures. And that's something that we have no problem providing. There is obviously language in there accepting any sort of security related information. So we won't have to provide anything that creates any sort of security risk. It'll just be basic information on our dams and how we maintain them and how we plan to maintain them in the future, which is always a story that we like to tell. And then the Texas Water Trust, the Parks and Wildlife Department is going to be given a little bit more leeway to try to encourage dedication of water rights to the Texas Water Trust. Obviously, we have a donation to the Texas Water Trust as part of our system operations permit. I think the goal here is to try to encourage more donations to the trust, because I think since it's been put in place, there's only been three, and I think it's been in place since Senate Bill 1 back in 1997. So I think that's the goal of that, is to encourage more water right donations for environmental flows. Any questions on those? And then last but not least, the BRA sunset bill. So it has the basic across the board or ATB language that sunset puts in all statutes for all of the entities it reviews. It passed out of the House in April and then passed out of the Senate last Friday, and it is waiting to be sent to the governor for signature. So it was reported and rolled today. And so there's a couple little I dots and T crosses that have to happen, which are administrative processes. But after that, it'll be sent to the governor, where we fully expect it will be signed. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions on anything I covered or anything else that I didn't cover. See a hand up.
Yeah, real quick question. Coming back to the last page, the previous page, I apologize. Mm-hmm. With respect to the TCEQ dam inventory, I'm guessing that, I'm hoping anyway, we made a fairly significant investment in asset management programs and the related software. I would think that that was something that we're going to leverage towards that particular, I guess, reporting requirement.
Yes, absolutely. It will inform that for us for sure.
And will that be, do you think, sufficient as currently envisioned?
Yes. Probably what we will have will be more than sufficient based on the information they're required to maintain.
And I guess that would be in addition to the benefits that we gain on capital planning and all the other good things.
Correct.
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Matt, I had a question. I saw an interesting article in Odessa. You know, they've come up with a new small-scale produced water desalination plant. You know, was that, did you hear any more or anything about that?
Not about that specific plant, but I know that it's something that is being explored, and it's one of the reasons that Senator Perry, who's the chair of the Water and Rural Affairs Committee, is so interested in Senate Bill 601. Is his bill, and he's from the Panhandle area, and his logic is we've got so much of this water that comes out of this process. Surely there's a way to make it into a usable product, and it could create a water source that you know could be potentially pretty large. So yeah, I think it's individual instances like that, trying to find a way, okay, can we broaden that? Can we expand that and make it bigger? And our take on that is, to the extent that it can be done in a way that's safe, we want to make sure that it's not done in a way that if particularly if injected back into the stream would in any way harm the quality of our water or the water that we need to make available. We're interested in any new supply source. We're not going to ignore any. So it's one of those things that we'd be happy to participate in and be very interested in as it moves forward.
Yeah, I saw they were planning to actually use it for irrigation and grow some crops and then make sure there weren't any heavy metal concentrations or anything else. But it looked pretty interesting, and that would be pretty big for us in that upper end of the basin, I would think.
Yeah, and I think on a much larger scale, the idea would maybe be if you could, you know, produce enough of it and then use the river as a natural channel to move it to places where you want to move it to. And that, I mean, that's obviously a big type of project, but you've got to make sure that if you're going to do that it is treated to such a level that it's not going to cause any degradation of water quality, which would be our biggest concern.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for me? All right. Well, like I said, 7 more days. And then everybody will be happy again, I hope. Thank you all.
Well, we got some dead air. You want to talk about election reform? Is it going to happen?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Why would, okay, now we're not muted.
Yeah, and muted itself. I'm not sure what happened there.
Now, can I do 10? All right.